The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, this week, Pascal Donoghue announced that he was standing down as Minister for Finance and resigning from government with immediate effect in order to take up a prestigious new job at the World Bank in Washington. He's long been linked with roles in Europe and he's currently the chair of the Eurogroup of Finance Ministers. So, what is his international reputation and what can he expect from his new role at the World Bank? Joining us now is Martin Wolf, Chief Economics Commentator with the Financial Times. Martin, you're very welcome to the programme. I suppose, first of all, at home, Pascal Donoghue would have been criticised on different sides for not spending enough public money on the right things. On the other side, economists and the Fiscal Advisory Council would say he spent too much money on current expenditure. But when you step outside of that, to the international arena, how is he perceived in the role?
Well, I suppose, first of all, there are always debates within any country, but from outside, Ireland looked like a country that achieved a miraculous recovery from a disastrous cataclysmic crisis. So I think the people who've been in charge, and he's obviously very much one of them, of this, look pretty good. He's obviously very highly respected among his peers. He would not have been elected to be president of the Eurogroup twice if he weren't. He comes over, of course, to people as very knowledgeable, very calm, very well informed, very balanced, just the sort of person you want chairing a group of contentious people with very different views on very, very difficult issues.
And that set of skills that you identify there, how valuable might they be in the World Bank in terms of the role that he'll be doing there?
Indispensable, I would say. Remember, he's not the boss. And he's actually a member of a team of, I think, five or six individuals. I don't know the exact number of managing directors. And they are, as it were, the executive board. And to get something done in the bank, you have to get the president on side. And apart from the immediate area you control, which in his case seems to be rather diffuse, and of course your colleagues on side. It's an enormous organization as well, with people from all over the world, very competent professionals with their views of their own. So you have to have the ability to persuade people. You have to make people like you, and you have to be very convincing.
And you worked there yourself at one time, a long time ago, so you're quite familiar with it. But for others, the IMF is often seen as a provider of funding to countries in the short term when they get into trouble. But the World Bank is about longer term projects, isn't it?
Yes, very, very different institutions designed to be complementary. They were created in 1944 to be complementary. The bank was created to do development. Actually, it was called then the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Reconstruction was of Europe after the war. That happened fairly quickly, mainly through the Marshall Plan. And since then, it's basically done development aid, the world's most difficult countries. And over time, it's really important, clientele has reduced in number, which I suppose shows that development's done pretty well. Not so long ago, India and China were basket cases, as it were, very heavily supported by the bank. Now they don't really need it.
You mentioned earlier there about the sense of Ireland's economic recovery after the crash and the public finances as they stand now. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of instability, a lot of change internationally in the economic and political scene. Some people are questioning whether our economic model here in Ireland is going to stand the test of time. There's another recent international publication talking about, has Ireland peaked? How do you think Ireland can fare in this changing world?
Well, first of all, I would stress it is obviously wildly unpredictable. Anything can happen at any moment, particularly given the personality of the man in the White House. But I think there's a reasonably good chance that the model will continue, and I don't really see the alternative for Ireland. It's a very small, very open economy. It's never going to thrive on its own domestic market, so it needs international markets. And it has the huge advantage that it's inside the EU, which is the world's second largest market in dollar terms or currency terms. It has opened itself up very successfully, partly because of language and policy, to American, in particular, American investment, the top multinationals. They're based in Ireland. They use it as a base, or as I call it, a bridgehead into Europe. And they're going to continue to want to do that. It offers them everything they want and need for that purpose. There's no point in going anywhere else. So as long as the European market is open to America and the American president doesn't stop them investing in Ireland, which seems very unlikely, I think Ireland's going to be fine.
I mean, the model that has been there and has been very successful for us, we might decide we don't want to change that model, but it might be changed for us by the introduction of more protectionism, the White House administration, also by the desire for more onshoring in the US and tensions between America and the EU. It's one thing to be a bridgehead between the two, but if that relationship becomes more frayed, it's a trickier place to be.
Yes, but my perception is that the core of the business model is for Americans, American businesses, great multinationals, to access Europe. Now, that would be could only be prevented by the Europeans if they basically said, we don't want Americans in our markets. And that would apply not just, of course, to goods, but even more so to services. And that would be a really dramatic step. It would not merely just be about stopping trade, it will be actually saying we don't want American multinationals present in our markets at all. I don't think Europe is even close to making such a decision. There might be higher tariffs. That wouldn't affect the Irish model very much. Real closure will be unlikely. I can't see an American president saying, I don't want our multinationals to continue to prosper across the world. There's been no sign, even from this administration, that they want all of the American businesses that are doing so well around the world to come home in that way. So it seems to me the model is pretty sound. Of course, there's a total breakdown in relations between the US and Europe, which will be a completely new world. Then, of course, this model will become very, very difficult. But I still think we're quite a long way from that.
Well, we'll take that positive note from Martin Wolf, their chief economics commentator with the Financial Times. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.